Yo, if you thought the McCrispy was bussin', hold up. Bacon and Ranch have entered the chat. Say hello to the Bacon Ranch McCrispy. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's, limited time only.
Yeah.
What's poppin', people? Welcome back to another episode of Say Less with Casito.
Dero.
Losky.
What up, though?
And Rosie. And...
we got another special guest.
Let's talk
our
about
honorary,
it.
Bro, this our honorary fourth
member.
Here's the thing.
Fourth host.
Here's the thing.
We don't even have to introduce him.
Nah, yeah. Nah, just put my name up on the title now.
Might as
well. Yeah, just like a little piece and write my name over it.
Wait one second. I got to give a real.
Rosie, he don't know.
Real.
He don't know.
I can't hear.
I know you can't hear because the headphones are on, but we got to give a real intro. When Say Less started in the beginning of a pandemic, in a basement with some shitty microphones
at
my
office.
Every time.
Because I have to, because there was a whole lot of people. Yeah. There was a whole lot of people that believed in the show, that believed in the pod, that believed in everything I was doing. Swerve Strickland was one of those people that believed in your boy. He was one of the first guests. He's the most frequent guest. Whenever he's in town, he makes time to pull up over here. Mm. And now, he is absolutely killing shit for All Elite Wrestling, killing shit with his music. He's been on an absolute tear this year. 2022 has been very kind to you, brother.
Yeah.
The most, Mr. Say Less. The Mr. The person who has made the most appearances in Say Less history. AEW Revolution in the Bay Area.
Not Mr. Say Less.
Mr. Wally Mania. My man, Swerve Strickland. Back in the building for a record breaking. Is it the fifth time?
This is number five.
Record breaking.
Number five times.
Five times.
Go.
Five times.
And to Say Less.
And you back, and you here in the, and you here in the new spot.
Yeah, yo, every episode I think we've upgraded studios.
We've leveled up.
I'm pretty sure. Like one, it was like during COVID, it was like FaceTiming.
Yes.
Then it went to the John down to one street. Then it went to the other street. Now
we did a world tour.
I think Swerve has touched every single spot.
Bro, I've toured New York just because of this show.
Bro, listen. It's like when an artist goes on tour and he's our opening act and he's been to every city.
He's the opener.
But he's the consistent opener and he's always going to be the consistent group member.
I got so much love for this brother Swerve, man.
Me and Swerve be going back and forth on Twitter. I be seeing all the hate that he be getting on Twitter and all the bullshit.
But it thrives him. It drives him.
I love it. There's a lot of times I take that shit and I use it on TV. That's material,
bro. For the past I'm gonna say this is our third year doing this podcast.
This is our third year, man.
Swerve, you've gone through so much since the first time you came on this show.
It's wild, man.
It's wild, man.
I lost my job in between that.
I remember, bro. You was edX.
I was like, what do I do? They don't want me.
You were still Isaiah back then.
Isaiah's a name that does get fired a lot, though. Isaiah get fired from the library, get fired from the freaking corner store.
You're still in the video game, though, so that worked.
I did make that.
But
yeah. Wait, what's your real name? I thought your name was Isaiah.
He's a wrestler. He has several real names.
Oh,
we don't gotta ask that.
I'm like, damn, Gina.
I wrestler.
I can Google it, guys. It's fine.
Mama name
is Swerve. I got a son. I'm like, oh, what?
Mama name is Swerve? All right, cool.
Mama name is Swerve.
I'm going to call Swerve.
There you go.
Swerve, last time, since you've been here, you've always been, obviously, just an advocate of not just being, black professional wrestling, but in mixing all of these cultures and bringing it to AEW. Last time we were here, we were in Brooklyn, and we were talking about, this is right after Grand Slam, I want to say.
Yes.
And
I brought Fabulous out that
Fab
night.
Fab came out. Yeah. Who Kid.
That was at MSG.
This is at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Yeah. Right.
Arthur Ashe Stadium.
15,000 people.
Yeah. 15,000 people pulled up, and you've only done more great work since then. I mean, you've had Rick Ross come on the show, and you know, I don't know if you guys read the Observer Awards this year, but he was nominated for an award. Rick Ross, I think he was. I want to say he was a best manager or something like that. He got like at least 100 votes or something like that. Damn for right. somebody, That's which amazing. Was insane. But he was great, and you know, the chemistry that you guys built on screen with the Mogul affiliates with Parker and everybody else. It's great to see just the influence you've had on that company. Dope. Because when it first started, obviously I'm a big wrestling fan, but you know, there wasn't a whole lot of representation over there. Let's be completely honest. No, but
in the little that it did have, it was like little spurts of it, and then like kind of like 6 weeks go by, and then like, okay, well, here's another one, and then like, I'm like. And I noticed that, and I noticed a lot of things. Like, that's the one thing I do. I like to survey the landscape of, like, no matter what I'm trying to jump into.
Yeah.
And I see, where do I fit in? Where are the pockets that are, like, where's the highs? Where are the lows? Where's, like, the little gaps? Where's, like, they get a lot of? Where are they not getting enough of?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of archetypes of people? Is there a lot of females? Is there a lot of, like, men? Is there a lot of black men? Is there black females? There's, like, so many different ways you can, like, just take it and divide it, and then divide it again to, like, the minute detail.
Yeah.
And I try to like tap into those details that are so minute, everybody's missing it.
Right.
And that's what I felt like AEW was. So I'm just like, I look at it as a playground. I'm like, oh, I can do this with that. I can do this. Who do I talk to? Nobody. Oh, I'm just going to do it then.
Just do it.
Like, so, you know, then, so that's kind of how it like really stemmed from things. Like, I just reached out to outsources, which, like, the great thing about AEW compared to WWE, it's a private company.
Yeah.
It's not public, like on the stock market, and like how WWE is, like, there's like it's a whole congress of people that you got to like go through.
There's an HR department.
Yeah.
Oh, we have that too, but but no, it's just like they got to answer to so many different sponsors and like people that like all that shit. That's fire.
I was about to say
Ben's brought just a magic. Can you bring that sword? With his sword?
I don't know what it is. I bring aggressive energy, so like I guess I got this sword. Yeah, this sword.
That's an actual sword.
No, it's not. But y'all thought it was okay to just bring a sword on my...
You just found it? Madison, you just have this in here just for the fuck of it? Okay, cool.
That's
cool,
nice. Cool.
He's like,
pass me the sword.
Lo's like, that's mine now.
I'm holding it.
I'm excited to bring this
bitch. You gotta pass it around.
I ain't passing shit around.
So, you talked about just all the influence and impact that you've had in AEW in your career. And I think you've had to have built up a great relationship with Tony Khan, the owner of the company. Yeah. And
I had like I met with him maybe a couple weeks. Like, no, it was like a week and a half maybe before my 90 days was up.
Okay.
He was in Florida. He was filming the dark shows.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, like, I'm in town. Like, hey, can we meet or whatever? And I got my cousin, Will, shout out Will Washington. He does a lot of, like, the publicity does a lot of reporting. And so him and Tony talk a lot of times, exchanging information. He was like, hey, what's worth information? We got it. Exchange it. We got there. So I met with them for like an hour. We talked like 45, 30 minutes of it is just football, not wrestling at all. Kind of like, I just like wanted to get to know him.
What, Jaguars football was being discussed?
Well, like, I'm a Rams fan.
Okay.
So he was like, yeah, me and my father, we were going to buy the St. Louis Rams, but like something worked out, so we just went and bought the Jaguars.
Never mind.
LA, I like it a lot. Well, I love St. Louis. But,
I mean, the Panthers suck, so.
Yeah.
Hey, you know. So.
Not my team.
Hey, Mark Bulger days. Not easy.
Mark Bulger, you threw her back with that. Yeah, name. My goodness. Yo,
Birdie Quinn.
Yeah.
I can go on and on.
You've been through the doldrums with the Rams.
So I'm like, so
you didn't just show back to the Super Bowl.
It was not just Aaron Donald. Hey, we made it. No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and we just talked and clicked, and he understood me as a person and as a businessman. Then he understood me as a wrestler.
Yeah.
Because he was already a fan of me then. So he's already been watching me, so he already knows that. So I want people to understand the person I am, the mindset I have, the drive that I have, and the business that I bring with that. And he understood that. And then it was just like, oh, you can do this? Here you go.
Yeah.
And he just let me go with a lot of creative freedom with the hip hop and bringing the artists in, like certain ways I want to shoot stuff, because I get really cinematic with a lot of things on camera. If you've seen me kidnapping Billy Gunn,
I've seen you when you put the pliers in his butt. Yeah. Or At least that's what it was.
It wasn't that.
It wasn't. Fingers. Oh, it was the fingers. It was the fingers. But it looked.
His hands was behind his back.
There was a lot of imagination. See,
did someone put a thumb in the butt?
No, see, you gotta be careful what you say around these people. You gotta be careful what you say around these people, man.
Put a thumb in the butt. No. Is that what happened?
I'm trying to be respectful about like what y'all do.
Was there like a future moment?
They're very impressionable right now, man. What was there a future moment?
Let me provide some clarity.
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
You
got
to be real careful with these fools. Like, bro, you got to give context.
Let me provide some clarity.
So okay. That's why I kept it real simple. So, like,
The last time Swerve was here, Swerve is what we call a face. He was a good guy. It was him. He was more like a tweener. A tweener is like, okay, you're a good guy, or bad guy.
I don't know.
Okay. Good guy with bad tendencies.
Yeah, good guy with bad tendencies.
Deep blurry line.
Yeah. But ever since then, Swerve has dove into full-fledged villainy since he's gotten
back. You're the villain.
So he's a straight up bad guy.
Nice villains.
Gotcha.
And
villains make more money.
Okay. So the last time they were here, they had a match against the Acclaimed for the tag team titles, which they lost. And Daddy Ass, aka Badass Billy Gunn, a former member of D-Generation X,
Hall of Famer,
New Age Outlaws, Hall of Fame wrestler, you know, a legend of the Attitude Era, now in AEW, playing a wrestler, also sort of a mentor figure for a lot of wrestlers, but especially the Acclaimed. And Swerve thought it would be a good idea to kidnap the man in a dark, empty room. And here's the thing. So here, again, more context. Daddy Ass, a.k.a. Badass Billy Gunn, and his team,
Daddy
the Acclaimed.
Daddy Ass is his name?
Yeah, just listen. Stop talking.
You're
going
to watch the show.
Stop talking, just listen.
He got a thumb in his butt.
Just stop talking and listen.
I'm just asking questions.
Mr. Gunn, talk to me like I'm three or five.
No. Rosie, let him give us context.
So Mr. Gunn, Billy Gunn, him and his team, they have a celebration where it's called scissoring. It's like, scissor me, daddy ass. Like, that is their way of handshake. So throw me some scissors, Rosie.
Rosie, put two fingers up.
I'm not scissoring you.
I'm not scissoring
you, bro. Just put two fingers up. Just do it. Just bring it. That's
ew.
I can see why I had to kidnap this man.
That feels so weird.
Okay, so with that being said,
it was
one of the most popular things in AEW.
Scissoring,
right?
Yeah, the whole crowd was doing it.
Massive butts and scissoring. That's all I got.
So what Swerve did was kidnap Mr. Ass in a dark, scary room.
Mr.
Tied
Ass
tied him up into a chair. And we saw him with was it pliers or scissors, hedge clippers? Yeah, pliers, but his hands were behind his back. So he went, and then he, like, the way the camera was angled,
he scissored him in the...
He took the pliers and went like that behind his back.
Broke his fingers.
It was fingers,
guys. Couldn't scissor anymore.
It was fingers.
Wait,
so you put your thumb in his butt.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Hold on.
Hold on.
That's
hold
crazy.
On, hold on.
And you scissored right. him.
Just,
this
okay,
is weird.
I did not. Just so
I don't get it. Have, this is why I swear don't understand we wrestling, bro.
I have accomplishments. I promise you.
Bro, this is why you're always here, because you are one of the best.
I need to understand wrestling.
No, hold on. Hold on.
What the fuck just happened?
Okay, so from what I just heard.
Compelling television is what
you just gave me in context.
Yes.
And you laid it out beautifully, so I appreciate that. You know, I'm not the wrestler guy, but thank you.
The wrestler guy's right there. He'll tell
you. No, me and her are not the wrestler consumer, but y'all are here to provide context. So the arms behind the back.
Arms behind the back. He's held hostage.
Held dark hostage. Room.
Yeah.
He takes the pliers.
Pliers, yes.
Scissors the fingers.
The fingers, yes.
Not the finger.
Not
bro,
the
you broke the fingers.
Yes.
That's where I was lost.
Right.
So where did the ass come in?
His name is Daddy Ass.
Why is that his name? That's already a problem.
The fans named him that.
That's what I was asking.
That's already a problem.
If we want to get technical, WWE owns the rights to a lot of likenesses from back in the day. Mm-hmm. And when Billy Gunn was popular, he went by the name of Mr. Ass, right? He was Badass Billy Gunn. New Age Outlaws or whatever.
Gotcha.
Daddy Ass is much more, it's more of an evolution of Mr. Ass.
Because now he's older. He's now like he's 50s, older.
He's, oh, Mr. he's got ass, the kids.
And his sons
ass.
Are on the show.
Yes. So then will he evolve to Grandpappy Ass?
He's just Daddy Ass. Just Daddy Ass.
Love
Poppy Ass.
Poppy Ass.
Long story short,
he
cut his damn fingers off.
Yes.
So he
boss mode.
So boss mode.
Yeah. Because he was doing this and that, we lost the tag titles.
So it was just like, it was a retaliation on like what you are known for. So it's like, all right, you're not going to be known for this.
Yes.
That was because they made,
and then it kind of backfired because then they got foam fingers, like this, and that was foam fingers in the audience. I'm like, damn it, I made them money.
That was the moment
you made the white man.
You
money
made him a lot of money, but also that was the moment that you really started to embrace the villain role.
Yes, and you love. Give me a couple of reasons, or give me your mentality of why you love the villain role.
Because villains drive the story.
Okay.
And I like pushing the envelope to drive the story forward. I like putting...
You like controlling the narrative.
Yes. Gotcha. And I can like play, like tap into a bunch of different emotions to get that emotion out of the
and
other person or the audience.
Or control.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of like toys and things I like to play with when it comes to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, white boy.
Yo, this
relax.
Is no, because it's getting weird. It's daddy ass, his fingers, his scissoring.
Well, you're holding a sword, so
first
you just might want to sit out.
I'm trying to understand wrestling. I really am.
Listen,
but
you were texting while I was talking, so that's on you.
Anyway.
That is true. You should have been focused on the pot.
I'm trying to understand, what y'all doing right now? Like, yeah, my nigga, you don't have a dog in this fight. But back to you know, the narrative of the villain and being
got a point.
Yeah,
the story or the right. man of the story.
It's almost like if you look at Friday the 13th, Jason never dies because you have to make 15 sequels because you have to keep driving the story.
Michael Myers never dies
because you have to keep driving the story to make more sequels.
I got you.
That's what I like to do. I like to keep making more sequels and keep making more story.
Like President Trump never died. Got to keep making more.
Wow, President Trump.
Love?
No, I'm just.
I'm pretty sure he's gonna die one day.
Well, I mean, well, he's still here.
His legacy will live on for a long time.
Trump is the villain. Trump,
Kodak,
and he had to keep making story. Yeah, okay, so I get it. I'm not wishing he's dead, but I'm saying.
Understood.
So Swerve, like, I see you always get a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
I see you always get a lot of pushback, a lot of kickback, and you embrace it. And I think that villain theory, I think that really lives within you, like, in reality, not just storylines.
As I grow as an individual, as a person, as a professional, yes, I would like to think so. Actually, I was having a conversation with Kaz about the last episode that we dropped, and like all the crazy quotes that you got pulled into.
I got pulled in. I'm just trying to learn. Like, I'm like, bro, I don't even like.
Who are you?
I'm arguing about 50 rappers. I don't know about 50 wrestlers.
And Kaz was like. He was like, no, actually, this is a good thing for the new age of like 2022, 2023. This is a heel. This is a bad person. It's almost going meta to the point where, like, I have to get you through the screen for you to invest in me emotionally on the other side of the screen.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you think I feel this way in an interview, hanging out with friends, then, oh,
Wait till I get on screen. I got you. I remember we had that conversation right after you came on the podcast, and you said what you said about the black wrestling list, and we won't even dive into that. Right. But you know, we just talked just about you can use this. This is where it's at. Like, you know, when you're growing up, you know, a lot of the stuff about pro wrestling stops when the camera stops rolling, right? Or the show's over, you know what I'm saying? But it's 2023. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got social media. Everybody's got something. You got to find new ways to keep people engaged, keep people enticed.
It's kind of like a mixed messages. If you see me on camera doing this on this show or whatever, being a piece of shit, and then next, like, social media post I have in the next morning, I'm like, feeding birds on the park right. and stuff like that, or I'm like doing charity work. Like doing charity work is cool, but like
my character shouldn't post. I get what he was trying to say. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it sways the narrative of what my character truly is. So yeah. sometimes I want to like live in that. I don't want a lot of people knowing what I do in real life. Sometimes right. no, yeah, I don't sure. need you to know what I'm eating for breakfast. Yeah. I don't need to know like
what do you eat
things.
For breakfast. I don't want to know.
Yeah, but.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Cass from Say Less, and Black History Month isn't just about 1 month. It's about the entire year. And throughout this year, join Walmart in amplifying the voices of Black brands and creators, giving them a stage to spotlight their unlimited brilliance. That's Black and Unlimited. What does it mean to be Black and Unlimited? It means being exactly who you are. To be unlimited in your potential, to be unlimited in your creativity, to be unlimited in your imagination, and to be unlimited in your vision. Throughout the year, join Walmart in amplifying the voices of Black brands and creators, giving them a stage to spotlight their unlimited brilliance. That is Black and Unlimited. Visit walmart.com/blackandunlimited to learn more. Cartier, Rolex, Gucci, Prada, Jordan, Adidas, Bottega Veneta. At eBay, it's real or it's getting the fake out. eBay's team of luxury authenticators are making sure you never get faked over again. Watches inspected by watch aficionados. Sneakers checked by legit sneakerheads. Handbags examined by handbag connoisseurs. And jewelry in the scopes of expert gemologists. These authenticators are leaders in their field, with meticulous eyes making sure your piece arrives as authentic as your style and worthy of your collection. As experts, they know the true difference between a real and a fake. Real carries that rare, distinguished feel, the weight of pure platinum, exquisite scent of Togo leather, and the tight stitching on a pair of Dunks, the brilliance of real diamonds. So rest assured, your Rolex moves just like a Rolex should, and that colorway on your Jordan Royals will always be on point. The details inspected, the fakes rejected. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay's authenticity guarantee. Everyone deserves real. Visit ebay.com for terms. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you earned doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope, Discover does it automatically. Seriously though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
He only just said, "I don't want people to know."
I
want to
know.
I want to know. He was like, "So what?" You know, like, I just said, "I don't care."
So what do you eat for breakfast?
You seem like a Quaker Oats kind of guy.
Right. I don't know. You eat grits or oatmeal?
You know what?
Grits, oatmeal, or cream of wheat.
Neither. I'm on a diet, so I gotta do oatmeal now.
Neither.
I'm a grits person.
Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran.
That wasn't even an option.
Grits, oatmeal.
Grits, oatmeal, or cream of wheat.
Oh, grits, oatmeal, or okay. I'm sorry.
I'm a grits guy.
Grits.
I'm doing oatmeal actually. Cinnamon apple oatmeal.
I can do grits or oatmeal.
I can do grits or cream of wheat. Yeah, I like cream of wheat a lot.
Peaches and cream oatmeal.
Yeah.
Cream of wheat is fire.
All right, 112.
What?
He said peaces and cream. 112.
I got it.
Jokes.
Turn the fucker.
So the consensus is grits or oatmeal.
I'm doing cinnamon apple oatmeal.
Very specific. That's the quick pack.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Cool.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Yeah. So, all right. So, to your point about the villain, and to your point about the characters, go ahead.
On another thing, how many Black villains do you see in wrestling?
I don't watch wrestling.
Telling people that. But this is why I love, because like y'all are putting me on the things that I have no idea about. My idea of wrestling is, you know.
Go ahead, say his name.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, The Rock, that's my idea of wrestling. Like, right. And that was when I was a kid. Now, you know, when he entered my life, he was like, yo, he's so enthralled with wrestling. First of all, Cass is annoying because he's informative.
When Cass enters your life, it's like a grown man child. Because he does very adult things, but he does childish things as well. Like,
I'm the same way.
Like, he's very business oriented, but he's like, yo, this right in the back.
So I'm not the same. I'm not the same way. I'm not a kid.
Men, we are a grown man.
Men can't be kids.
Like, we perform it every week.
Right.
I'm half naked every week on TV.
they're living out their childhood dreams. So
you know,
like,
what I'm saying?
I forgot about wrestling, you know, as I grew up. So, but when Cass came in and I saw him make it a profession, I saw him like actually putting people in position to do it. I'm like, yo, there's something there that I might have missed.
Yeah, it's a right. different time, man. Like, yeah. you know, it's you know, I've been plugging Wally Mania all month long.
All month, as you should.
And March 30th it's something that is near and dear to me. And Swerve has been a big part of that over the past several years. And just seeing
I performed last year.
His growth, he performed last year.
Damn, you did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
We had left and went to Hooters at that time.
Yeah.
I'd rather look at Hooters than watch me perform too.
Hooters was pretty fire.
We left. I'm sorry.
Terrible. It was across the street.
Swerve performing
the same waitress.
We came right back. We came right back though.
Yeah, we did. No, you did. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went home.
But you know, it was I would say this, man. The way wrestling has kind of sort of changed, and not just, you know, the way Low-Key was talking about it, you know, obviously, yeah, we all have those people we grew up on, but I think the one thing that really attached me to it is that, like, yes, I'm also somebody who grew up on it, but at the same time, you know, I always had this vision of, like, where it can be because there wasn't necessarily that generation of people that look like me, that act like me, that listen to the type of music that we listen to, like, in any sort
of
education, entertainment now, like, everywhere, you're just seeing more folks that look like us in so many different ways, shapes, and forms of entertainment that you're just like, wow, if I could even play a little tiny bit of part in, like, trying to, like, you know, do some cool shit there, like, that's an amazing thing.
And it's so great, the fact that, not to say you have equity, but you have a particular role that you can play and you can now use as leverage, right? Because your narrative and how you, you know, analyze and how your love and your favor for the culture, right? So then, you know, you look at a person like Swerve and Emilio and, you know, Wale and all those, like, you brought us to that shit.
What makes Swerve special is that, like, you know, the cool thing about wrestling is, like, I discovered Swerve the same way I discovered, like, a rapper that I like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, you just listening to him, like, somebody sends you a link or some shit, or, like,
find
your Twitter page or whatever. You're like, oh, shit, this shit dope. And then, like, you almost have, like, a vested interest in their success because...
What's your next move? What's your next album?
You help... Not even that, but, like, you caught them, like, you know, I seen Swerve when he was back in Defy in Seattle, like, doing shit, you know what I mean? Like, before, you know, Wally Mania really blew up in the past 3 or 4 years in New York, like, you know, and since then, he's only... matched the growth of where I see, like, black professional wrestlers have gone, man. The fact that you are one of the main players in AEW and you are becoming, you know, I want to say one of their top heels, or at least top three heels in that company without even being in the title picture. It's just really incredible to see. And the way you've done it has been very unique, and you know,
I like to show the world what I can do with little. Yeah. So when I do get a lot, they're going to be excited about it.
So speaking of a lot, the last time, you know, one of the times that you were on TV, you had Rick Ross come in.
I remember that clip.
Instagram. Yeah.
Accusations.
False
accusations.
It's a game clip.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. So now there was a clip where I think Keith Lee, his former tag team partner, had come up to Rick Ross and said something about, I don't know.
He called me, he's the camera thing, he called me on camera breaking dude's fingers.
Now he's like,
he's accusing me of it. And then Rick was like, accusations.
Now, was that planned or did he
First of all, we filmed it one time.
Okay.
It was one shot.
Okay.
And I pretty much broke down the synopsis. I'm like, all right, Rick, so this is what happened. Me and my partner, we broke up.
And then, well, maybe we didn't break up at the time. He was just like, yo, he's going to come in accusing me of some shit. And you just kind of try to bring us together. He's like, it's nothing. It's easy. It's too easy. It's nothing. He's like, it's nothing, bro. He's like, too easy. Let's go. He's like, yeah. And then, like, there's, like, everybody, like, his whole crew, his publicist and all that. Everybody's behind the camera. Sanjay. Like, all them guys are back there. And he's like, yeah, let's get it going. Woo! Yeah. Let's go.
Yo, I'm real, like, question. Does he say, in person?
Not too much.
Not as much as people expect.
No. Wait, yeah. Keep going with this story. I want to hear this.
Yeah, so we shoot the promo or whatever, right? And people are like laughing behind the camera. They're like, funny. And then, like, he's like, I kind of know the whole promo in my head.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I just want to take time out to show the, like, we got the biggest wrestler in the world, Swerve Strickland, right here, but we about to make him the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah,
we're taking over. And then we had the Bel Air sitting in there and whatever.
And look where we are. Perfect.
That's why I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I gotta be here. Keith comes in. Keith is like, he's like, yo, Ross, whatever. He's like, yo, what's good, Big Keith, yo, we going to freaking do the whole thing. And then, like, in the middle, we was like, could you mention, like, promote, like, there's going to be a six-man tag match next week or whatever. He's like, how about Swerve, if you do it, since Ross doesn't know all the names.
Right.
I was like, yeah, so I started naming the names. I was like, yo, so me and him. He's like, and he goes, like, Ross goes, yeah, six-man tag. Yeah. In the middle of it. And I'm like, he's like, there's a part where Keith, he's like, you've been answering my phone. You answer my phone calls. Swerve, you ain't answering my calls. What's up with you, man? What's going on? You, I ain't heard from you in a week. And Ross like, hey, this is not a time for no negativity. We staying positive.
Oh, my God. We staying positive.
Right. Matter of fact, here, you get a drink. You get a drink. Hey, Tony, with the microphone, yeah, you get one too. Let's toast it up. Boss time, yeah. He's just ad-libbing.
You know what time?
All the whole time. And I'm like, I don't even know where I'd like jump in to get my...
Get your shit on.
Yeah, I'm like...
He's like, you double that shit. Like, I gotta promote this tag match.
I'm like, we got a minute and a half on the camera.
Like, I think I gotta get this off real quick.
Yeah, it's like a ceiling, that fan that you gotta jump through. I'm like,
but
he's great. He's hilarious. We shot more stuff in the back. They didn't use all the footage, but I sent the one to you.
Yeah, I saw it.
Getting physical, which was hilarious.
Ross seems like such a wrestling natural, though, right? Like, he's such a he's such a character already.
Yeah,
that, like, him being in the professional wrestling world,
his
was just like
his voice and his, like, this tracks. His voice tracks, and I think how he speaks about
he definitely
things. He has that.
It just carries.
He has that.
He has presence, and in pro wrestling, you gotta have presence. Yeah, especially when you talk.
Yeah, and that, and that's one thing when I started bringing artists in, I didn't want to, like, you know, some guys just have cameos, like, hey, so and so's here on the ringside, just get a clip of them. Yeah, hey. I'm like, yeah, but you can do so much more with that.
Right,
so I just try to get them from, like, that to, like, live in our world for, like, the little bit of camera time that we do have.
Right.
So, like, there's impact on it. Like, Trina came through. She had impact with something. She had, like, with Jade.
Shout out Jade Cargo.
Yeah, shout out Jade. Mm-hmm. Jade is a menace when it comes to this stuff, too.
Oh,
she was doing it before me.
Yeah.
Like, we just doing
all that. Lamar Jackson.
Jackson came through.
Yeah.
Like, she just had Vanessa Hudgens last week, which I marked out for. I don't mark out for too many celebrities. I was like, that's a... Hey.
What's up? How do you feel about, you know, all of these, you know, R&B and hip hop artists actually, like, you know, attending, like, you know, Bow Wow's even actually like doing that? Then West Side Gunn, like, he was
because
there.
Because that's the culture. The culture runs the industry. And the fact that you were talking about, like, you don't see, we were, go back to, like, he didn't see a lot of that growing up on TV. Like,
I didn't
you
either.
You didn't either.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And, like, you saw the thing with Rick Ross, not from watching our show. You saw it from something else.
Right.
And that's why we do those kind of things, to have it travel. Ben Simmons used that GIF.
Yeah.
And he
doesn't
know.
It's a GIF.
I forgot, like, when they said he was part of the Meg Thee Stallion Tory joint, when he was like, he was banging Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah, he was accusations. So now it's becoming a cult, a pop culture thing. So now it's not even just a hip hop culture, it's a pop culture. So it's like traveling. I was at ComplexCon in LA, and I'm, like, hanging out with Jeff Hamilton and in his booth and stuff. And, like, my buddy Flash, who does my entrance music, Flash is just, like, introducing me to a bunch of artists and, like, fashion people that are walking through or whatever. And he's like, yeah, he did something with Rick Ross, AEW, big wrestler right here, whatever. And he's like, oh, cool. And I was like, what? Rick Ross? I was like, yeah. That was what he showed him. He's like, oh, Accusations. I saw that.
Wow.
So like, yeah. Even at this place, you're not watching AEW to see that. You saw it from somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I know. I'm like, okay, I know it's working because it's traveling to places like this. And it's, these guys are seeing that.
Right.
And
these guys are sharing it. It's hitting people that don't watch.
Exactly. And that's the goal. And that's like putting your hand on the pulse of what's
You want to accomplish when you step foot into certain platforms. And this is a platform that you love, and you're putting your life and you're sacrificing, you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, like, I freaking tear MCLs and stuff and doing this stuff. Bro, so it's like, this has to carry. Somebody has to see
I get it. I get it. Like, you know, for this culture, for our culture, like, niggas going for broke and sacrifice, this and the third, but day and day and week and week, I love coming back here and start moments.
Yeah, man. Yes. I say right now pro wrestling is like live action memes. Like, can you make a live action
meme? You got to make a moment.
Like, you got to make something for like 5 seconds where if motherfuckers can replay that as a GIF or use that as a Twitter reply or something. Like, all right, you got it. I may not know what the story is going on.
Right.
But like,
catch your attention? Like,
what do you mean?
What would like... So my question is like, now for me is what would catch the female's attention.
Okay. Okay.
That's where I'm like, that's good where. Question, so my thing was good like, question. You know what? Like wrestling types, all these emotions, you always get the grudge match. Like, I'm better than you. Who's better than me? Like, you know, like here's the title belt. Let's fight for it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's a very surface level emotion. Mm-hmm. But like, now it's like, what about betrayal? What about sorrow? What about sadness? What about how do you embrace? Then there's a bunch of different levels to that. Mm-hmm. There's comedy. There's like all these things you can portray. Like one thing we don't tap in anymore that we used to do back in the day was romance.
Yeah.
Women get really invested in romance. Female character, not just like a strong female character that can beat up anybody. No, women get attracted and attached to... she's with him, he's with her, but he has a love triangle with her. But then there's this girl that's trying to get in between that. Like
the way me and my girl
White Lotus and put it in wrestling,
like Real Housewives, the same way I describe like wrestling storylines.
Exactly, right? It's the same drama.
She's like, baby, you don't know this girl. She went to this dance, and then you know they were at the drinks, and then you know his baby mom came.
But then this is like, yo, baby, like this is not real.
I mean, hey.
But it doesn't matter. It's
only entertainment.
But it's
show.
No, I get it. But like, yo,
it's like a
calm
show.
Down on the investment. Like, yeah.
Why not?
That's
the point. And that's the argument.
And I get that. But I think there's a level of investment that it supersedes your reality.
You're right.
I'm just saying, like, I don't like that because then it's just like, if I say, well, I don't care, or like, that's whack, or whatever, like, you get mad because I don't care about their bullshit.
Well, no, you don't care about that.
I mean, that's fine. Like, it's not.
No, what I'm saying.
I don't think it's about, like, whether you care about it or not.
No, that was the demographic, and the majority does care about what they're selling, what they're buying.
What I'm saying is, we're investing too much in the false reality of that narrative.
But it's entertainment. Like, it's all entertainment. It's okay. I'm saying it's okay to be invested in something that's false when you know
I'm
watching this to be entertained.
I'm saying the level of care is where I have a problem with. Yeah, the level of care. Yeah, you can be invested. All right, cool. I could love the storyline and, you know, listen and watch and decide. Yeah, cool. All right. But when it turns off, that's what a lot of people don't know when to turn it off. Like,
that's a slippery slope. You can do that with everything. I could look at you and be like, you're way too invested into this rap shit. You know it's fake, right? Like, you know all this shit
right,
is bullshit.
Right, I get that. All right, so there's no difference from when...
Exactly, there is no difference. It's right, all entertainment. So yeah,
but me at my grown age, I understand that.
Yeah.
When the music cuts off, but there are people who are like, well, you don't know, and you, how would you think? Why would you think? I'm like, yo, bro, this is not real. Like, stop.
But that's consumer. Yeah. That's what you want from the consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, they
but
tap on
at
that
what
to get
point?
Them.
At what point is it enough?
For as someone producing that, I don't want it to ever turn off.
Exactly.
I don't ever want you to show. I want 30-year-olds. I want 40-year-olds. I want 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
I want 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds.
So you want them raking their brain.
Yes.
Yes.
Every form of entertainment, you want some sort of emotional investment where they really feel like,
right.
yo.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, to
Rosie, mm-hmm. the demographic that we would love to have
is more women.
What would get you to like constantly keep watching something like that? Is it like drama or is it?
I don't like drama.
There you go.
No, I don't. I think for me it would be like a, like even what you said,
like a battle rap.
Boy, no, fuck you. Boy, fuck you, but yes. No. Like,
exactly. Like, nigga, same, like,
he's playing
you.
The villain. Like, I'm a huge Marvel fan. So yeah. If it was something like that, I would be invested. If it was on some The Boy shit.
Right.
Where there's characters that I'm actually invested in, where I'm like, nah, man, I'll fuck with him. Like,
it happens.
Stuff like that would really roll me.
Yeah, it's. And I'm just as an outsider,
as an athlete, or as an outsider.
No, just
no. You know who I think I told you this. You know who had me invested? That rest in peace, the wrestler that died that used to tag team with his brother.
Wait, what's
the white dude from Delaware?
The Briscoe. Yo, she was talking about how much she loved the Briscoe.
I love him.
He's great.
Yeah,
I loved it. Like, I wrestled him. That's somebody that I would watch because I loved his whole.
Reach
I loved
for the
whole
sky,
little,
boy.
Yeah, I loved his whole little country swag. But he was a rapper, and like he would listen to like country music.
Speak to him.
Yo, Jay was a legend, awesome. Bro. I just saw him in Dallas too when they wrestled FTR with the dog collar match. Yeah. I had two matches.
It was the same night as Wally Mania, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, the night before.
This was like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I wrestled like 3 matches before him.
Mm-hmm.
And like as soon as him and his brother, every time they come in the locker room, they're always just like big brother stepped in. Like your big brother that you ain't seen in so long. Right. Like your dorm room partner or whatever that just came through that you haven't seen in years. You're like, yo, my God, he's always so in. He has just like a big energy about him. And that's why the fans.
Copy D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's called PDE.
PDE?
BDE.
You think Jay Briscoe had BDE?
Big Dick Energy?
Can you be respectful to that? Like, he literally just passed, like, not even a month ago.
No, I think he had that.
Well, I guess that's a compliment, right?
I never met him. I think he had that energy.
I'm just listening.
I think, all right, no. For context purposes, when I say BDE, I mean, like, someone could be in the room and you don't know who it is, but you know somebody's in the room.
That's just a fancy word for confidence.
He's a confident individual.
That's just all you gotta say, yo.
For sure.
When women don't even tell you you're confident no more, it's like,
you got big dick energy.
All right, no, I respect
but
that.
We're the Neanderthals.
Why are you mad at that? That's a compliment. Yeah. I know there's big dick energy in here.
Let a man say you got some big titty energy. How would y'all feel?
Well, what does that mean?
Well, you can't hide big titty energy.
Is there big pussy energy?
Yeah, there's definitely big pussy energy.
It's fat pussy energy. It's fat pussy energy. FPE.
What's FPE?
Fat pussy energy. Me.
Tell us.
It's like
me.
You nigga
you,
energy.
You know I'm in the room.
You can see it throbbing, yo. It's just like, yeah.
You're big lyrical energy.
Like, wow.
Jay Briscoe, I love you, man. I miss you.
That's all we were trying to get to.
God, yo.
No, I wrestled
Leave
him.
Leave it to Rosie.
I wrestled him. Yo, it's crazy. I wrestled him one time. It was in London.
Mm.
Nice. It was me and Ryan Smile. Rest in peace him. So everybody, like, it's crazy. Like, looking back, I posted that picture. Like the day of,
yeah,
and I'm like, damn, I lost my tag partner that, like, because he took pills, like, committed suicide. I'm like, so I'm like, look, both our guys are like missing our guys mm-hmm. at the time on that photo, but like Jay was just like, he's just so much energy, like, forcefully, but at the same time, he's just like, he has an aura about him,
yeah. Yeah.
Like when he walks, when he's in the match, and like I'm really ignoring you right now.
We do this 80% of the time.
But that's what BDE is. You're literally explaining it.
No, it is not.
When somebody walks in the room,
that's just common sense.
It is not.
When someone walks in the room,
it's BDE. It's definitely not that.
Anybody, like, if you sit like Indian style, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, this is with a sword too.
Yeah, with a sword.
But I'm not. Anyway, yeah, he rest in peace. I miss him. That's what one thing about the wrestling business that a lot of people take for granted. You don't know when you're going to see these people next.
Yeah,
like, I get on a flight, It's a lot of sports, but wrestling's a little different because we don't have an off season. We don't take like 6 months and then we come to the we're on it all the time, all the time. And then the one time you see us on TV isn't the only time we wrestle.
Right.
We do house shows, we do international, we do tours. Sometimes we wrestle three times in one day.
Right.
When Wally Mania, those WrestleMania weekends, Mike Bailey did 9 matches in 3 days.
Right.
Jesus. Which is insane. And the way Mike Bailey goes, it's impactful.
Yes.
Like he's coming from one match to another with like scars from the last match. So, and like, if you want to put the science behind pro wrestling, our body shouldn't be doing what we do on a regular basis.
At all.
Like, if you, especially if you like see known the science with pro wrestling, or like, not pro wrestling, but the NFL and what we know
imagine
about.
Imagine Tom Brady, imagine Marshawn, imagine Emmitt Smith, imagine Barry Sanders. Imagine them doing that 3 times a day. Imagine LeBron doing that 3 times a day.
With no offseason.
With no offseason. And y'all are doing that. Every time, the amount of force
that our body hits the mat is like enough to like of a car crash.
And the weight of y'all hitting bodies together.
Yes, right. Like, and like blatantly getting kicked in the face, blatantly getting punched in the face, blatantly, that's not normal. Falling to the floor. So there's
what were you doing before wrestling though? Because y'all are hella athletic.
He's the military. Yeah.
but no. So y'all are hella athletic.
He's kind of built for that.
What?
He's kind of built for it.
No, I'm saying. So most wrestlers, what do they do? Because they're hella athletic.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot
of them be doing backflips. They be doing, like, so where does that come from? Like, did y'all play sports?
I was jumping around in the backyard off of ladders.
You was in the military. That does not require backflips.
Yeah, I was doing that.
How do you know how to do that?
As a kid, I was doing it. Yeah,
like just playing around with my friends in high school because we were big wrestling friends and we were shooting.
I realized I was pussy.
Right.
Yeah, you are.
I'm like, I like music.
So in the military,
like, I like music.
What was you doing that kept you that?
Military combatives. I was like fighting in sand pits and tire pits.
He was built for it. He was built for it.
So like that's where a lot of my ground game comes from. That. But as far as like athleticism, I just learned it as I was going. I got a ring, got trained, and I was just like, oh, I want to try that. I was a Rey Mysterio fan, so everything I wanted to jump off of everything when I met that man.
That reminds me, Kaz, you got to do that thing I tagged you in.
What thing?
I don't know what the fuck that is.
All right, so I think
we
can wrap this up. Swerve, we always appreciate you for coming. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. Swerve, I love when you come here because you always open up my eyes and ears about wrestling, about the storytelling, about the narrative, about the villain landscape, and you and him have gotten me really, really invested in what this is and what it's about, and seeing people that look like me on that big screen.
It's for everybody, and that's what I'm trying to bring to this kind of, like Carlos Boozer can walk in and be like, oh, I love this.
And I'm glad y'all got to connect.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God, big fan of Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, I'm glad.
But that's like the beauty of this. Like, our worlds can connect.
Right.
You know, that's why I come in to try to do these things.
That's
with,
the beauty of it.
And that's what Wally Mania is for. He opened up my mind to that.
Bro,
so much.
He opened up my mind to that. Wally Mania, March 30th in L.A.
We in there.
I'm going to be performing.
He's performing.
We're not going to miss it this time.
I went to the first one in Dallas. I was very against it.
That was going to be crazy.
Huh? That was your first one.
Our first one.
No, I went to my first one in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I was so glad that he exposed me to so many different individuals and characters that I had no idea that existed.
Yeah.
And I have to think, and I have to sit here and look you face to face and say, yo, thank you for allowing me into a space that you hold so close to your heart. And I would be doing a disservice in not coming to your next one in Los Angeles.
It's fun, man.
That was very sweet.
I appreciate that, man. And Swerve, obviously, I wish we had more time today to kick it, but you know, it's not like you can't come back.
Yeah, just call us when you want to get booked in. Like, we got you.
The door's always open, bro.
Okay,
like we said, man, you can catch Swerve on AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, March 5th, AEW Revolution at the Chase Center, San Francisco.
I gotta fly there Tuesday.
I don't know if it's been announced yet. Are you and Keith Lee? Is it happening?
Watch the show.
Guess you gotta watch our updates. Can't wait for that one. But also, yes, most importantly, Swerve Strickland will be in the building for Wale Mania, yes, March 30th, yeah, yeah, in Los Angeles at the Novo. Get your tickets right now.
Let's get
they
it.
Are flying. It's going to be a packed house. I can't wait for everybody to be also, in there.
Also, check out my album coming out.
Yes.
Spring.
Yes.
My first solo one. I did three projects with my group, the TZ.
Yeah.
He taught me how to rap from ground up. This is my fourth album. First solo one. I got Benny the Butcher already featured on it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Benny.
Chase the Money just did a track with him, producer. He just
first
did something
all,
for Fast
Benny
X.
The Butcher.
Yeah.
I heard the record. You sent me a few records, bro.
Yes.
I'm highly impressed.
Yeah.
Highly impressed.
Fireman's on there. Nice. Then I got Kanye vocals on there.
How
list.
You wait? First of all,
hold on,
guys. Hey,
go, yeah,
ain't no first of all. Yeah, we gotta wrap
yeah,
up.
Yeah, 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 let go, yeah, let yeah, go.
Working with a lot of Grammy award-winning producers. Shout out Prophet.
Shout out Prophet.
With like six records. Like,
yeah,
we damn, just won a Grammy, two Grammys actually with last year, for the Donda record. Flash is on there. TZ is on there. Anthony King, shout out Anthony King.
Talk that
super,
shit.
Super talented individual,
talk
engineer,
that,
singer,
it,
rapper. Can do it all. Yeah, I'm learning a lot in this.
The evolution is incredible to watch, bro. And you know, you know how we yeah, give it up, bro. Swerve, I'm so proud of you. So happy that you came through. The most appearances in Say Less history. He's bridging the gap now. Like,
he's
somebody's gonna have
been,
to catch up.
But he's
you know
always
what I'm
been.
So,
that's why I'm sitting here talking to him. That's why I'm asking him so many questions. I'm like, I'm very intrigued. But
oh, thank you,
every
thank
time
you,
he sits with us, every time he sits at this table,
it's another level he reaches. It's another level he reaches every time he comes back.
That's why I can't come back here without something new. Exactly. Don't come back here with
don't,
no nigga.
Don't come back here without something new in that pot.
What you been doing?
No.
Nope.
Guys.
No, I got to come back here with presents.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man. This has been another great episode of Say Less with Kazzo, Key, and Rosie. Appreciate y'all. Make sure you hit subscribe.
Four or five hours today, baby.
YouTube.com/Kazan. They don't got to know that.
No, I'm just saying, like, you put in 8 hours already.
Well, I know. They don't know that. This is going to come out several weeks later.
I want to make sure motherfuckers know about you.
You know, tape TV.
I can tell who got drained from all the talking today.
Sure
I don't know about you guys, but I can tell.
Madison, thank you.
Guys,
we appreciate you. Thank you, Madison.
YouTube.com/Kazan. Everywhere you listen to podcasts. Shout out Benson. Shout out Jake.
Shout out
Madison.
Jake, yeah,
shout out everybody at Sovereign Brands. Swerve Strickland, the one and only.
Hang it up.
You know what time it is.
Okay.
Yeah, don't drop it.
We don't do it.
But like we always do with this
we
time,
we don't got the wrestling money yet.
We, God,
I love it. Friday
can we,
episode.
Can we wrap this?
Go ahead, nigga.
I'm my trying to nigga shut up.
My fault.
Like we always do with this all time. Right, stay free, stay safe, and always say less.
Happy
we'll
birthday,
catch you next week, people.
Happy
yo,
birthday.
This is weeks later, though.
It's still happy birthday. It's still happy birthday.
Birthday all month.
All right. God damn it.